Bezat Hashem b'siman tava. We'll continue the daf yomi. First, I want to say I'm nothing compared to Rabbi Maruf. So I apologize in advance that I'm not going to be able to reach his expectations. But
the timing and everything might depend more.
I definitely try to do it fast. So if everyone
the time that you've been learning in your life.
Bezat Hashem.
Compared to him.
Bezat Hashem. I don't know. We'll see if I can get to him. He's a very, I'm not even a drop in his bucket, but. And also, I just wanted to say, you can call me Ryan or Daniel, whatever you think. I'm not a rabbi, so you don't have to call me rabbi. We're learning Torah all together. Do you know where he left off exactly? So, where we could jump in? Is the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Bet, or you got onto Yud Chet already?
The thing is, Yud Chet, someplace in Yud Chet. Yud Chet Amud Aleph.
So, if you want more jump.
I think my Tama.
Okay, that's already in the middle of a. Let's jump back down to Yud Zayin Amud Bet, because either way.
Look at the record for a second.
Okay, whatever. If you want, I jump back to Yud Zayin Amud Bet anyway. It's a short sugya anyway. Then Yud Chet Amud Bet is very short. It's a half an amud anyway. So we'll be able to finish quick today anyway. Let's go to the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Bet, the last three lines. This new sugya is going to be discussing, basically, we have a sukkah that we know that we said in the previous line in the Gemara that a sukkah that has shlosha tfachim, if it has three tfachim of open space, of open air, it is posel the sukkah, and four tfachim of non-kosher skach also is posel the sukkah. Now, there was a machloket in the Gemara, if it's talking about four tefachim in the middle, four tefachim on the side. One shita said, no, it's four amot on the side and the middle. The other shita said, no, four tefachim in the middle is posel, four amot on the side. So we had different machlokot. Now we're going to bring a different gemara over here, telling us what happens if you place, you have a board of four tefachim. It's much easier if anyone has a book with the pictures, it's much easier. That's why I was looking for them at Tifta. But if you have a board with four tefachim, next to it you have skach, four tefachim, board, four tefachim, right? You go back and forth, all the way till you get through eight amot sukkah. Is it kosher or not? You have back and forth. So this is what this Gemara is going to be talking about.
You fill up in the middle, you have four amot board, and you fill up in the middle.
Exactly. Tashema. Sakecha. Don't worry. How are you? Sakecha v'nesarin. Shel eres. If you cover the sukkah with boards of cedar boards. Sheyesh b'hen dalid, and they have four tefachim. They're made of four tefachim each. Divrei hakol pesula. Everyone agrees the sukkah is pasul. Ein b'hen dalid, if they don't have four tefachim, Rabbi Meir posel v'Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rabbi Meir posels the sukkah, and Rabbi Yehuda says the sukkah is kosher. Umodeh Rabbi Meir, sheim yesh b'hen neser l'neser kimlo neser, and Rabbi Meir would agree to Rabbi Yehuda.
That if you
jump to Yud Chet Amud Aleph now, we just got to the top of Yud Chet. And Rabbi Meir would agree that if you place in between each board, right, each board and board that we said of four tefachim, you place the size of a board, and he says Shemaniach Pesal Benehem. If you put kosher skach in between them, ukshera, it would be kosher. So Rabbi Meir agrees to Rabbi Yehuda even in that situation, that would be kosher. When does he say it's not kosher? Is if you have mamash everything's four tefachim, or if you don't place the skach in between. But if you put skach in between, that's four tefachim, it would be kosher. So now the Gemara is going to, like we discussed, these machloket between the previous opinion we had, it's going to say, this makes sense according to one, but not about the other. So it's bishlama leman damar ben be'emtza, ben minatzad, bedalad amot. It makes sense according to the opinion that says that it's the kosher, how you posel a sukkah, how you make a sukkah non-kosher, is with four amot open, or four amot non-kosher skach in the middle, and, /or, four amot on the side. Right, that makes sense, because what do we have here? Over here we have four tefachim of non-kosher skach. Four tefachim board. And Rabbi Meir said it's pasul. Right? So it makes sense, according to the opinion, that it's four amot and four amot. Why? Because it's still kosher. We said halacha would be kosher if you put skach in the middle. But according to the opinion, but he says, Ela leman de amar be'emta be'arba'a, but according to the one who says that the middle, if there's four tefachim of non-kosher skach in the middle, then amai kishera. Why would it be kosher? Why would we agree and say that this is kosher if there's four tefachim of non-kosher skach in the middle? That's the shayla. Everyone understood? Make sense? Okay, so the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Huna, Berei de Rav Yehoshua, Hacha besukah, de lo havia ela shmona. There's a girsa over here. The sukkah only has eight amot, metzumtzamot askina. There's specifically an eight amot size sukkah. Right? We know there's a machloket. in Sukkah, in Masechet Sukkah, how big an Amma is. I think we previously saw this, but he says it's machloket between, if it's, you know, an Amma Be'noni, if it's four Tfachim, five Tfachim, six, or five, six, seven, different sizes for Tfachim. La Lachal Ma'aseh, we say a Tefach is six, every Amma is six Tefachim, right? So an Amma is from the elbow to the top of the finger, generally. I actually measured, someone had a ruler, it was like a measuring tape, but in Tefachs. So it would go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tefachs, and he got the Amma. And then he gave the Chazon Ish also. We know this is the famous machloket between the Chazon Ish and all the rest of the poskim with regards to how big a tefach is and all these different measurements and stuff like that. But generally, let's go like this simple opinion of Rav Chaim Na'e that every 6 tefachim generally would make 1 Amma. So he says you have 8 Amot Sukkah, specific 8 Amot Sukkah, which is 48 tefachim. And he says, V'yahiv neser upesal, you place 1... You're going from the side, right? So you imagine this is the sukkah. This is the top of the sukkah. We're going to have 12 things. 6 boards and 6 skach. And we're going to be machshir the sukkah. And that's going to add up all to 48 tefachim. So he says, Va'iv neser upesal. You put 1 board and 1 skach. Un neser upesal. Another board, another skach. Un neser upesal mehay gisa. And another board and another skach on one side. So this side now is filled with 3 boards and 3 skachs, the middle one being the skach. Okay? And then he says, you go to the other side, v'neser upesal, v'neser upesal, v'neser upesal, mehay gisa. And you do the same thing from here. A board and a skach, a board and a skach, a board and a skach. What you're left with in the middle is 2 skachs, 2 kosher skachs, that are 4 tefachim each, adding up to 8 tefachim. We know that's already beyond the size of a kosher sukkah. We need it to be 7 tefachim. So he reached the hechsher sukkah, and that's how you wouldn't have a problem of it being posel with 4 tefachim in the middle. Because here you have 2 kosher sukkahs in the middle that add up to 8. It's not, there's no posel sukkah with 4. Everyone understood that?
When it says posel, it means it's talking about making the entire sukkah posel, or are you talking about just the four tefach.
So in this situation, it would be the whole sukkah probably, because of the fact that it would be in the middle. Because what happens is you're cutting the sukkah.
Eight, he's saying, okay, we're going to look at the whole sukkah.
Because the middle is not 4, right? The middle has these 2 skachs that it adds up to 8, exactly. Then it wouldn't be posel the sukkah. So that middle is a hechsher sukkah. That's what
the
Gemara is going to say. V'dehavu lehu shnei pesalin be'emtza, that gives you 2 skachs in the middle, v'ika hechsher sukkah be'emtza. And you have a hechsher sukkah right here in the middle under that sukkah. So now we got to this, understanding. This is pretty much, I think this is more or less where you guys ended off, or a few lines later, with regards to having a hechsher sukkah in the middle. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Amar Abaye, avir shelosha besukkah gedola. If you have open area in the skach, open area, 3 tefachim in a big sukkah. And he says, umi'ato, and you actually minimize it. You minimize it, bein bekanim, bein beshipudin, whether it's with reeds are kosher for sukkah, or with skewers. Skewers are mekabel tumah, so they're not kosher for skach. So either way, whichever one you use, have a mi'ut. It still works to minimize that open space. Why? We say...
The skewers, we learned that there are 2 kinds. There is mekabel and not mekabel, am I right, or not so sure?
The middle skewers, we say they're mekabel tumah.
It's a skewer by itself. There is skewers like this, and there is skewers like this.
Right. I'm not talking about screws you're talking about?
No.
Skewers. I think you might be talking about the zecharim and the kevod or something else. So that's something different. There's one that's makhshir, one that's a beit kibul. It's a little bit different than this situation. These are actual skewers, like kubide skewers.
Two different things.
Okay. It's different, okay? So over here he's saying, if you let's say you put 1 skewer over there that covers part of the 3 tefachim of open air, it is machshir the sukkah now, even though the actual shipud is not kosher skach, right? Because it's a big sukkah. Now he says, ubesukkah ketana, with a small sukkah, bekanim havi mi'ut, only with the reeds is it considered minimizing correctly. Meaning if you use a reed and put it in that open area of 3 tefachim, that reed would machshir the sukkah because it's kosher skach. Beshipudin lo havi mi'ut. But with regards to skewers, it would not be considered minimizing it, and you would be posel the sukkah. Now what's the difference? What's the difference between a big sukkah and a small sukkah? So if it's a big sukkah, you have a lot more room. So you have hechsher sukkah regardless. We said for it to posel the sukkah, it needs to have 4 tefachim of non-kosher skach. So if I place 1 shipud, it's not 4 tefachim, and it goes in the middle and it cuts out the 3 tefachim of open air, We said earlier, it's not mitzaref, right? The fourth tefachim of non-kosher skach and the three tefachim of open air, it doesn't mitzaref together. So over there, in that case, that would be kosher with a big sukkah. Whereas, if you have a small sukkah and you place the skewer, now what's happening is you don't have hechsher sukkah anymore. It's such a tiny sukkah that shipud is not a kosher skach. It would posel the whole sukkah. Okay? Good. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Vehane milei, what we just said is only min hatzad. That's only on the side. Aval be'emtza, but in the middle, pligiba rav achav ravina. Rav achav ravina v'machloket, if we say this din in the middle, now we're going to go into a whole discussion about levud. Right? Do we say that we have this concept of levud? I'm sure Rav Amruf explained it. Do we say that something within that's less than three tefachim is considered really attached and it's not like an open area in the middle of a sukkah? Let's say you have right here in the middle, you have an open area. Can you make levud over here in the middle? That's the question.
Can you give again the definition of levud?
Levud is basically whenever you have two, let's say in this situation, right, on the skach, you have an open area of less than three tefachim. So any open area of less than three tefachim, we consider it to be levud. It's considered to be attached and closed. It's not open anymore. It's a concept that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us that is considered attached since it's less than three tefachim. That's levud. Okay? So this is what the machloket is. We're in the middle of Yudchel Amud Aleph. Chad Amar, yesh levud be'emtza, v'chad Amar, ein levud be'emtza. One opinion says, you understood? Do you want me to clear it up again? Right. Levud, we say levud with three. Right. So, nachon, exactly. One opinion says we have the din of levud in the middle of the sukkah. The other opinion says no, we don't know who said what. Right? A lot of times the Gemara does this. We don't know who said what. We say one says like this, one says like that. Now it says, "May ta'ama demand amar yesh levud be'emsa." What's the reason according to the one who says that we have levud in the middle, that there is levud in the middle of the sukkah? So the Gemara brings a beraita. The Gemara is going to bring a specific case where you have, let's say. One, let's say this is the sukkah. So we have two walls over here. Let's say we have two poles coming out from each wall to make the skach. Now, those walls, they don't touch each other. So there's an open area in the middle. Or, for example, there's one pole coming out of one side of the sukkah, and it's all the way over here, but it leaves an open area, let's say, on the side or in the middle. And it doesn't cover the whole thing, but it's within three tefachim. What do we say over there? So the Gemara says, Detanya, Kora hayotza. If you have one pole coming out of this wall, and it doesn't touch the other wall, and another case, you have two poles, one comes out of this wall, and another one comes out of the other wall, but they don't touch each other. So the Gemara says, if it's less than three tefachim, then you don't have to bring another pole. You don't have to command it. Why? Less than three tefachim? We say the din of levut. Whereas shloshah, if it has three tefachim or more, tzarich le'avi korah acher, then you would be required to bring another pole because it's not considered attached. We don't say the din of levud when it's three or more. Okay, so that's the opinion of why we say levud in the middle. Now we're going to go on the other side. Okay, why does the other opinion disagree with this? Clearly, have a clear beraita. So ve'idach, what does the other opinion say with regards to this? So the Gemara answers, Shane korot derabanan. No, so that case that you brought, he says, is different. Why? The case of korot is only rabbinic. Right? Rashi explains this, that with regards to ilchot Shabbat, if a person wanted to carry in an alleyway on Shabbat, midoraita rimutar, it's only the rabbis that they rabbinically prohibited it and they required you to do this korot, attach it together to permit it you completely. So since it's only derabanan, he says over there, they were mekel with the din of levud. They were lenient with regards to levud. Whereas with the din of sukkah is deoraita. So sukkah is not the same case. Sukkah, you need to be actually attached. That opinion would disagree with this. You see where the machloket is? Okay, clear. So now the Gemara is going to go on the other side. What's the reason for the one who says we don't say levud in the middle? My tama demanda amar in levud v'emsa. Why do we say there's no levud in the middle? Ditnan, as we teach in a Mishnah. Before we jump into this Mishnah, it's a little bit difficult Mishnah. It's Mishnah in O'alot. The Mishnah, it talks about basically, tumah. If you have, let's say, a house, there's a house. And in the house, there's tumah. But let's say there's a little skylight on the top of the house. And this skylight, since it's an open skylight, and it has, you can see outside through the skylight, anything that's under that skylight would not be mekabel tumah. nothing, so anything, meaning let's say you have a chair with kelim under it, utensils, whatever it is, none of that under that skylight would be mekabel tuma, but the rest of the house would be mekabel tuma. It's a very interesting case.
There's no glass on it.
Yeah, open.
No, it could even, it's not necessarily, it's completely open. It's a skylight, but it has the measure. When it says potech tefach, then we're going to see, it's not actually saying that, I don't think, that the actual skylight is open. It's saying that its measurement is a tefach by a tefach. But it doesn't necessarily need to be open.
This skylight have no covering. This is my question. Yes, to plastic or schuchit or endo, that's the question.
Does a skylight have plastic?
I think it should be open.
There's no plexiglass in the time of
Chazal. No, if there's anything,
it seems like what you're saying makes sense.
It's closed.
It's a good question. Let's see if Rashi says anything about the skylight. He doesn't say. Rashi just says begaghi. It's in the roof, so it could be that. You're saying no.
At the time there was no plexiglass.
Nachon. Yeah, it seems like it makes sense like that. They didn't have, maybe they didn't have these types of windows with glass and stuff like that, so it probably was open, whatever that means.
It's totally open.
That's what it seems like.
I want to crystallize.
Yeah.
They're not talking about light going through. The air has to.
Okay, so that's what he says. So now let's see this case. How do we know that we don't say Levud Be'emsa? Ditnan. There's a teaching in Mishnah. Arubah Shebabayit. If you have a skylight in the roof of a house, Uba Potech Tefach. And it has one tefach by a tefach. Tefach is very small. It's a little skylight like this. It's like a tiny little room. Like smaller than this room. Very tiny room. Tuma babayit. If you have tuma, let's say you have a dead body in the house. Kulo tameh. The whole house is tameh. Ma shekeneged aruba tahor. What's under the aruba, what's under that skylight would be tahor. It would be pure.
What size of the aruba, sorry?
Tefach keneged tefach. So it's one tefach by a tefach. Very small. Don't focus so much on the measurement aspect of, like right now it's going to bring a different case of it being less than a tefach. The Gemara is not trying to make a chiluk between a tefach and less than a tefach. It's trying to learn out how, keep in mind, to learn out how we don't say levud in the middle. How we're going to show that.
I try to understand if it's more than three or less than three.
Right, that's the important part. But the Gemara now is going to bring a different, this Mishnah brings a different case of, but if it's less than a tefach, so people get confused. Why? What does it matter if it's more than, it's a tefach or less than a tefach? That doesn't make a difference. If it's a tefach or less than a tefach, does not change the status of it. It's a matter of three tefachim or less than three tefachim. Yeah. That's the important part. Okay? And then he says, Tuma keneged aruba, whereas if you have something impure under the aruba, under the skylight, kol habayit kulo tahor, the whole house would be pure. Why? Because the whole skylight, since that's the only part that has something impure under the corpse, it goes out. It doesn't stay in the house. That's the idea. Then it says, "Ein ba'aruba potech tefach." If you don't have a tefach in the size of the aruba, in the size of the skylight, tuma ba'bayit. If you have impurity in the house, you have a dead corpse in the house. Keneged aruba tahor. Under that aruba, it stays the same rule. It would still be tahor, right? And the rest of the house would be tameh. Same din. Tuma keneged aruba. But if you have tuma, if you have a dead corpse under the skylight, kol habayit kulo tahor. The whole house would be tahor. Same din. Same din. Now, what do we see from this mishnah? This mishnah is telling us. There's an open skylight. It's only one tefach. If we were going to say, hey, one tefach is nothing, it's less than three tefachim, say levud, close it up. It's not considered open. We don't say that. We say, since there's an opening, the tumah goes out. Clearly, you see what? That in the middle of the house, we don't say levud. This is a stira on what we just said earlier. So now you have two different opinions showing proofs how we do say levud or we don't say levud in the middle of the house.
And tumah is from the writer.
Say again?
Tumah is from the writer.
Tumah is... The right, the Nachon. Tumah is the right also. So this is not saying, oh, it's only the Rabbanan. No, yeah. I brought your proof from the Torah. Very good. Ve'idach. So what does the other opinion say, right? We said it's a machloket. What does the other opinion say about this? So he says, Shane halachot tumah, dehachi gemiri lehu. Halachot tumah is different. This is how Moshe Rabbeinu taught them. Halachot Moshe Mishina, he taught them like this. This is how Moshe Rabbeinu taught them halachot tumah. It's specific to tumah. But you can't say the same thing about sukkah. Sukkah is different. Okay. Now, we had this case a little bit earlier with regards to, let's say, someone, you have a house, and the house caves in.
You cannot learn from Halachot Moshe B'Sinai, something else.
Yeah, you can't learn from Halachot Moshe B'Sinai, something else. Moshe was talking specifically about Tumah. New case. Now, we have a case, we had a case earlier also, where you have a house that it caves in, and you cover it with skach. We said the din of Dofen Akuma. Right? Dofen Akuma is anytime the skach or the wall is near the skach within four amot, we say it Dofen Akuma, it's like a leaning wall, and it really makes the wall connected. Whereas if it's more than four amot, pasul. We say it's completely distant.
Can I go back? it's a side question.
Sure.
Can you have Tuma in Sukkah?
Can you have Tuma in Sukkah? Meaning, are you allowed to?
No, I mean, yes, the bar kaze or end bar. That's the question.
Yeah, if the Tuma can travel anywhere. It's a matter, meaning,
no,
if there's oil.
No, a gag shel Sukkah.
Is it considered like a room?
I think so, yeah. Gag of a sukkah, it seems like it's a... So it seems like it's not a kavua. So, I mean, I'm not affluent in the laws of Tum'ah and Tahara to know that for sure.
But if it's Tum'ah, it means that it's gag.
That's what it does.
Yeah.
Anyway, today,
let's keep moving.
It's a good question. It's a good question. I'm gonna look into it. I'm gonna look into it. I'm not 100% sure.
Benny, is this first aid?
No, please. I'm not 100% sure. I'm gonna look into it. It's a good question. Okay, let's look at the new case. Darash Rabbi. Darash Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai. Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai made a darasha. Bayit shenivchat. If you have a house that caves in, v'sikech al gabav, and you put skach on top, keshera. Now he says it's such a vague case. He didn't give the example. He didn't tell us 4 amot, not 4 amot. So now comes Amar lefanav Rabbi Yishmael, but Rabbi Yoseh. Rabbi Yishmael comes and tells him, Rabbi Parish, explain to us what you're talking about. What does that mean? It's kosher. So he says, Kach pirash Abba, this is how my father taught me. Arba amot pesula. If there's 4 amot between the wall and the skach, like we said earlier, it's pasul. Bachon ma arba amot keshera. But if it's less than 4 amot, we say dofen akuma. It's like a slanting wall, and you make the sukkah kosher. New case. Tarash Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai. Abroma sharia. There's this type of fish, Rashi tells us. It's a type of small fish that they were sometimes mixed, very minute amounts of non-kosher fish. This specific one didn't have these non-kosher fish in them. You can't recognize the sharatzim in these small type of kosher fish. So you couldn't see them. They weren't recognized. Sometimes they were, sometimes not. You couldn't tell if they were there regardless. So he says they're permitted to eat. You're allowed to eat them. Sharia. Amar al-Fanav Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yoseh. Rabbi, Parish, he said, why don't you explain yourself? He said, Rabbi, explain yourself. What does that mean, they're kosher? Amar, kach amar Abba, shema komploni asura. In one specific place, they're forbidden. Why? They're mixed with non-kosher fish. Shema komploni muteret, but in a different place, they're mutar. And he's going to bring now a statement from Abaye telling us, excuse me, telling us exactly which river these type of fish are found that would be kosher. Okay, we're going to see that right now. Kihad Amar Abaye, this is what Abaye said. Haitza chanta, debav nahara sharia. If you have this small type of fish that we say are kosher, that are found in this river called the Bav, Rashi says Bav Shemo, that's his name. So Bav is the name. Sharia, you would be allowed to eat those. Maitama, what's the reason? What's the reason why those fish would be mutar? Maybe, meaning, how do you know for sure? You can't see, you won't find any non-kosher fish amongst them. They mix in the water with everything. So this is what the Gemara says. That's not what the Gemara says.
There is a chazaka that this river doesn't have.
Okay, so that's not what the Gemara says at first.
Maitama,
what's the reason? Ilema mishum deradife maya. Maybe we can say that the water flows, right? It's a flowing river. V'hai dag tameh, and if you have non-kosher fish, any non-kosher fish, kivan de late le chuta shidra, it doesn't have a spinal cord, lo matze kaim, it can't last, it can't exist, meaning it continues flowing and it destroys all of them. So this specific river, those fish, that since it's such a strong wave, such a strong movement of flow, those fish that don't have a spinal cord, the non-kosher fish, they don't last. But the Gemara says, v'haka chazinan de kaye, that's not the case, go look in every river, they still last. You're not, this water doesn't flow them away and they don't kill them. So it's Ela Mishum de Meliche Maya. So really you have salt water. Vahai dag tameh, and this non-kosher fish, kivan de late le kilfe, since it doesn't have scales, right? Two things you need to be a kosher fish, fins and scales. But since it doesn't have scales, Mishum lo matze kaye, it can't last. Since it doesn't have these scales, it's not strong enough, so it doesn't last in the salt water. But the Gemara says, Vaka chazina de kaye. Again, we see that they still do last in the salt water. You go to the salt water, you still see the non-kosher fish in there. So the Gemara says, "Ela mishum de lo marbe tinayu dag tameh." The mud or the tar of this river, of this water, does not, provide or does not make more of these non-kosher fish. So they don't have non-kosher fish in this specific river. That's what the Gemara is telling us. So it's not because the water is strong or not because it's salt water, rather because this specific one doesn't have the sediments or the things that are required to create non-kosher fish. This is what the Gemara learned out. But it says, nowadays, Amar Ravina v'ha'idna d'shavchei nahar etan v'nahar gamda lehatam. Nowadays that the waters of etan and gamda, they pour into there, those waters have non-kosher fish, asira. The whole river would be asur today. Why? Back then, they had a chazakah, they knew this is what you were saying at first. It's not what the Gemara said. But at the end, they had a chazakah, this river, it doesn't have non-kosher fish. Now, you're not able to make non-kosher fish in this river. But at the end, they started pouring, you know, the water started going into the river from other rivers, and those had non-kosher fish, so all the water became asur. You also see something very interesting, that back then, they were able to tell fins and scales. You pull out a fish from the water, you could tell it's kosher or not kosher. Nowadays, and you go there, I don't know, is it kosher? It's not. Someone in the desert, they need to find food. They don't know. They can't tell. Even when they know, they're still in doubt. They really know. So it's like, you see how baki they were in everything. Okay? Okay, now we're jumping into a new thing. I don't know, does anyone have the pictures in the Gemara?
If
there's pictures, it'd be very interesting. This next part is a very interesting, cool thing.
Why did they bring the fish case into this thing?
Why did they bring the fish case in this thing?
Yeah.
Because it was I think it was Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai who said that you have a bayit shenifchat, you have a house that caves in, and you put skach on it. So it's the same Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai who said the case of fish. A lot of times the Gemara brings several things in the name of one rabbi. It brings one thing on the topic, and then it goes on to the next thing, continuing on different topics, even though it's the same rabbi. Okay. Itmar. Sikech agave achsadera. If you put skach on top of a porch, imagine you have a porch, outside. I don't know if you see a picture, it's much clearer, but you have a porch outside, and you put skach. And sheyesh la petzimin, and this porch has these poles around it. So imagine you have, let's say, a courtyard sort of thing, where you have homes around, and in front of the homes, there are these columns or poles. Each column.
Does this picture make sense? Or this
yes, exactly. Yes, I don't have it. Let me see it. Exactly, yeah, exactly. If everyone has this picture, it's very clear. You have poles going all around. These poles, very important to remember that these poles are within three tefachim of one another. They have the status of levud. And so, in that case, keshera would be kosher.
How far is it away from the house, though?
It doesn't matter. It's far. No, it does make a difference, because now we're going to see what happens if it doesn't have the poles. It's far away from the thing. It's not within four amot. So I don't think we would say dofen akuma. So he says she'en la petzimin. What happens if it doesn't have the columns or the poles? Abaye amar keshira. Abaye would say they're still kosher. But Rava amar pesula. But Rava says no, it's pasul. Now they explain themselves. Abaye amar keshira. Abaye says keshira. Why? Amrinan, we say pi tikra yored vesotem. The edge of the roof comes down and closes it off. Meaning what? That we say, anytime you have if you look at it on the going out to the porch, even awning, without the columns, awning, it has this, yeah, what's it called?
Awning.
Is awning coming out. So he says that the edge of that, the edge of the roof, comes down and makes a wall to make it as if there's a wall. It's a concept that we learn out, you know, it's a very important concept to remember. P. Tikra Yored V'Sotem is also has a connection with Gud Asik, Gud Nachit, right? The same concept. So he says that you can make it as if there's a complete wall there. This is his opinion. This is what Abaye says. Huh?
Imaginary
wall.
In this case, in Eruvim, this would be imaginary. Also?
A lot of times, yeah. This is the same. These topics are the same with any time you have a mechitza, so eruvin, Shabbat, Sukkah. All of these topics, they go into the same category. We say good asik, good nachid. You say piti kara yored vesotem. All these things are very important to remember.
Rabbi, I have a good question.
Not Rabbi, Ryan or Daniel.
Ryan. So the awning is an extension of the wall, or it creates its own wall. Like the end of the awning is considered its own wall.
It would come down and make a wall.
It's not an extension of the wall that it came from.
Literally, it is. But what the Gemara is saying is it makes an actual wall at the end of the awning.
That's my question.
Okay, Rava Amar. Rava says no. It's pesula. Why? Lo amrin pitikra yored vesotem. We don't say pitikra yored vesotem, that the edge of the wall, edge of the roof, comes down and closes it off to make an actual wall. He disagrees with this concept. He says we don't say this concept. Okay? Amarle, now they're going to try to contradict each other and see who's right. Amarle Rava Labaye, ledidach, according to your opinion, that you say, the Amart, pitikra yored vesotem, that you say that, you know, the edge of the roof comes down and closes it. Afilu hifchit dofen emsa'i. Even if you, let's say, you break down the middle wall. What do you have generally? If you look at the picture, you have three walls. If you break down the middle wall, you're only left with two walls. Okay, but why don't we say, the skach that goes over the sides, pitikra, the edge of the skach, it comes down, it'll make a wall to the other sides. You don't even need the third wall. Why do you need the third wall then? Understand the question? That's his question. And so he answers, Amar le, modina lach be'ahi, dehavale kemavoy mefulaj. He says, yeah, like, I'll admit to you, in that specific case, because that case is different. That case is a mavoy mefulash. It's an open alleyway. Since it's an open alleyway over there, we say, you know, you can't say pitikra over there with an open alleyway. That's a specific din. But with regards to when it has three actual walls, then you still could say pitikra. But when it's an open alleyway like that, we don't say pitikra. So now, this last piece of this Gemara is going to try to tie this same machloket we just had of Abaye and Rava to a machloket of Rav and Shemuel. And then the Gemara is going to contradict them and say, no, it's not really a machloket. It's only a machloket according to one opinion, not according to both opinions. Okay. Lema Abaye and Rava. Let's say that Abaye and Rava bepluktah deRav uShmuel kamiflegi are disagreeing in the same machloket as Rav and Shemuel. This is a Gemara in Eruvin. The Gemara says, the Itmar. If you have this pavilion or this type of courtyard that's in an open field, a type of an open space with you have four poles and has a a covering on top, a roof on top. So Rav Amar, Rav says, Mutar letatel bekulo, you're allowed to carry within the whole thing. Right? This is with regards to Hilchot Shabbat. Da Amrinan, Pitikra, Yored Vesotem. In that kind of case, we say Pitikra, Yored Vesotem. So let's say the roof, the edge of the roof comes down and makes it completely walled, it's a completely walled area. So Rishut Ayachid. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel says, "In metatalinba ela bedalad amot." You're only allowed to carry four amot. Why? The lo amrin and pitikra yored vesotem. We don't say the edge of the roof comes down and closes it off. So he's trying to say, why don't we say it's the same machloket of Rava and Abaye would be of Rav and Shmuel, that Abaye would say like Rav. Abaye would say we do say pitikra in this case, and Rava would say like Shmuel. No, we don't say pitikra. Where answers, no, Aliba de Shmuel kule alma lo pligi. According to Shmuel, no one disagrees. Everyone agrees to Shmuel that in this specific case, we don't say, we don't say pitikra. Rashi explains that, it's a little bit of a difficult, long Rashi. So let's jump into this last Rashi on the page. Kach piresh sugya zo bechol makom, sheachol la'amid divrei echad mehen shelo b'machlokatan shel acherim. In a lot of places in Shas, it says that you're allowed to establish machloket in one of the opinions. You don't have to establish in both. So this is what the Gemara is doing. So he's saying, and the second opinion, meaning in this case it's Rav's opinion, we can establish both of them disagreeing in that opinion. You don't have to say they're disagreeing in both cases. You don't have to say that according to Shemuel, Rava and Abaye would be disagreeing there too. No, in Shmuel's case, they both actually agree. That's what Rashi is basically saying. It's a din that he's telling you that when you say like, oh, you have a machloket, let's say it's the same machloket as these two. Okay, if it's the same machloket as them, as Rav and Shmuel, you don't have to say that one of them holds like one of them, the other one holds like the other one, and they're disagreeing in two different cases. You can say they're both disagreeing in one of the people's cases, in Rav's case. So let's jump back into the Gemara. And this is the end of the daf. He says, Kipligi aliba de Rav. Right? They're arguing according to Rav. That what? Abaye kerav. Abaye, like we said, that he says, Pitikra yored vesotem. I jumped back into the Gemara. That he says, Pitikra yored vesotem. He says like Rav. He explains completely like Rav that in this case of this open pavilion in a field, this open alley or courtyard in a field, we say like Rav, you could say Pitikra. Rava amar lach. Rava would tell you, Ad kan lo amar Rav hatam. Rav was only saying over there in that case, that these walls, to be allowed to carry on Shabbat, they were made specifically for this porch or for this courtyard or for whatever you want to call it, this pavilion. It was specifically the walls were made for the pavilion. That's why he allows you to say Pitikra. But he says, Aval hacha, delav lahachi avidi. But in our case, if you go back, the previous case we said of Ravan Abaye, that if you have an achsadera, you have this courtyard or porch or whatever you want to call it that doesn't have these poles. Do we say pitikra over there? Those walls aren't made. The walls of the houses were not made for the sukkah. Those walls are made for their homes, right? So since over there the walls weren't made for the sukkah, wasn't made for the inside, then lo, we wouldn't say that Rav would say even in that case pitikra. Meaning they're disagreeing on the point of how far do we say pitikra. So according to Abaye, we say pitikra. We say pitikra all the time. Anytime you have these, again, as long as it's not an open alleyway that we saw. Anytime you have these four poles and a roof on top, you could say pitikra and close it up. Whereas according to Rava says that we only say pitikra whenever it is that the walls were made for the inside, not when the walls are made for the outside. So in the case of the sukkah, the walls weren't made for the sukkah. But in this specific case that Rav brought, that you have this you have this pavilion in a field, you do have these poles that were created specifically for the inside of the sukkah. Okay? Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen ve'amen.